We all want to go to space. At least I do want to go to space. And tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing as I am recording this video. So it is poignant and it is absolutely relevant to give a little bit of context around space, but also to tell you how you can go to space today or almost. There is a little trick, of course. The history of innovation is not linear. There are many, many phases, and there can be an enormous amount of time between an idea and its application. One of my favorite examples is Leonardo inventing the helicopter. He could have waited, and he maybe waited all his life for working together with other experts in order to develop what was needed to turn his idea into a usable object. But he died without it seeing the light. It took another 500 years before we could have viable helicopters that safely and economically could transport us from one place to another. Or imagine the great geographical explorers and their ships that were dangerous and unreliable, but still allowed those who dared to discover new continents. After Columbus' voyage that allowed Europeans to find India first, they thought, and then with Amerigo Vespucci, the continent received its name, America, as we call it today. Well, hundreds of years after, even at the beginning of the 20th century, going from Europe to America was a dangerous one-way voyage for millions of people who dared to take it. So it sounds like we are a little bit spoiled when, after the incredible advances of space exploration and human spaceflight of the 60s, we are pretending to be able to go to space with the same convenience, with the same safety, and the same economy of scale with which we are taking a plane to go from city to city within a continent or across the entire planet. It is, of course, a wonderful desire, but technologies need to consolidate, and entire global supply chains need to generate the kind of systems that can support not a few dozen or a few hundred, but millions of people being able to go to space. One of the reasons why this innovation did not happen over the course of the past decades at the pace that it potentially could have is because nation states had a monopoly on spaceflight, especially on human spaceflight. Whether it was the Soviet Union or the United States, more recently, obviously, Russia, but also China, in being able to assemble the technologies that allow delivering the capsule that can support human life beyond the 100 kilometers limit that conventionally defines being in space, and then reaching orbit, low Earth orbit, or higher orbits, things that we actually didn't do after the Apollo flights ended at the beginning of the 70s. Well, all of this could only be done by nation states. But today we have a whole group of private companies that are fighting for customer money and competing with each other in order to deliver a large number of satellites, in order to deliver cargo to the International Space Station, and also in order to build safe, economical, reliable, flexible options to bring humans in space and in orbit. SpaceX, Blue Origin, Virgin Galactic are a few of these, and hopefully there will be others as well that enrich the number of ideas that can be tested in order to find the ones that work. And then with industrialization, with the number of flights increasing, the cost will come down. So how can you go to space today if you cannot go to space today? You have to find an analog. And a fantastic analog that I found a few years ago, and since then I am absolutely fascinated by it and passionate of it, even though I cannot practice it as frequently as I would like to, is scuba diving. Think about it. You are in an alien environment. The vacuum of space in one case, underwater in the other. This environment can kill you very, very rapidly, in a matter of minutes. The only reason you don't die is because there are all kinds of sophisticated technology solutions that enable you to survive in this alien environment. And even though scuba diving seems something that is fairly mundane, the technologies that are needed in order to allow people to go underwater safely, economically, reliably, are pretty recent. We have come up with these technologies over the course of the past few decades, and they are still evolving. So, as you scuba dive, you put your life at risk, but in a calculated fashion, and you rely on sophisticated technologies in order to be able and survive the experience. But there is more. One of the defining features of being in space is absence of gravity. Actually, the force of gravity still is acting on your body and the body of the spacecraft carrying you, but exactly because you are both in free fall, you don't perceive that, and your relative motions are the same. So whether you are floating or a droplet of water, very spectacularly recorded in many videos that we see from the International Space Station, or actually any other experiment, special relativity tells us that there is no way of distinguishing between being in absence of gravity or being in free fall. Many objects, your reference frame specifically, together with you. And underwater is a little bit like that. You are not in free fall, but you are floating. And your floating is managed by your gear that you inflate or deflate in order to keep your buoyancy neutral at various depths. You adjust it, and the adaptation is incredibly fast, as demonstrated by the fact that after typically 40-50 minutes of simple beginner's grade scuba diving, when you climb back in the boat with your gas tank on your back and your wetsuit, the force of gravity that you didn't feel for an hour hits you, that maybe is not as strong as the sensation of the astronauts and cosmonauts when they come back from extended space flights, but it is still the rapid adaptation of your body to the absence of gravity on underwater compared to when you go back on the boat and everything feels so heavy. And then after an hour or two, the sensation disappears. So I highly recommend it. And in order to illustrate it, here is a fun video that was shot and edited and published originally, I think 3 years ago, by my son Cosimo, that vividly illustrates how exhilarating the experience of scuba diving is. Do you want to go to space? Go scuba diving. I hope you liked this video. And if you do, you can support me on Patreon in order to record more of these videos about the context of the themes that we are seeing in the world around us. With as little as $5 a month, you can become a supporter with exclusive content, dedicated Q&As, and live opportunities online as well as offline to meet with me. And you will help my crew edit, record, upload these videos with a frequency of one a week. Thank you for watching this episode of The Context, and see you next week.